Yadanu gam yadanu. So the Rebbe says, I know very well. Yadanu gam yadanu sh'oid gam ata libcha mistapek, that in your heart you're still having doubts about the possibility of becoming this kind of a person. Mamin ve'eno mamin. You believe and you don't believe. That lotion of mamin ve'eno mamin, of course, that's Rashi uses that by from Chazal, that's by Noach, that he was mamin ve'eno mamin, that the flood was going to come. He was a believer and he didn't believe. And Tzaddikim explained it. That doesn't mean that he didn't believe when Hashem said it, just he didn't believe in himself. Mamin ve'eno mamin means he believed in times, at times when he had confidence, at times there are times when he felt good about himself. But then there were times ve'eno mamin when he didn't believe in himself, not in Hashem. So too it is with a person. So the Rebbe says, I know that you have sveikas, you have doubts. Mamin ve'eno mamin she'efshel chalalus lamatzav kazeh, that you'll ever be able to rise to such a level. Shatira v'chol ha'olam ruchni yisu kedusha, that you'll be able to see in everything around you, in the entire world, you'll be able to see holiness, spirituality, and so on. Hainu. Not only that you'll know intellectually that there's kedusha that surrounds you, that there's a likus, there's godliness that surrounds you, but you'll be able to mamish see it, to feel it. The shamas, the shamas, the tzaddikim are able to identify. Neshamas, letters Isis of the Aleph Beis and so on, which we'll talk about a little bit more later on. Baruch Han, you're saying, Haloi, Olam Gufani, Ani Raya Ba'olu. You're thinking that I see a physical world, I see it clearly with my eyes. And who is able to deny, who can contradict the certainty of physical, of being aware of things in a physical way, of seeing with your eyes, of being able to hear with your ears? How could you go against the senses? So the Piyazesna says, what makes you so certain with the truth of what you're seeing with your eyes? Why are you so certain? So here he's going to show us that We rely completely upon our physical senses, when in truth, even with our physical senses, we don't know what we're looking at, we're not sure what we're hearing. So he says, how do you know? They're true. I don't want to go into, he says, I don't want to go into all kinds of discussions of this nature, meaning philosophical types of discussions, you know, does this exist, doesn't it exist, and so on. However, I would like just to give you an example of how I could very easily shake that certainty that you have regarding how you see things so accurately with your eyes and how you hear things so accurately with your ears, to take you away a little bit from that feeling of security and confidence that you have with the ability to define reality using your senses. Shebehem ata boteach, that because of this, you know, you trust completely your senses. V'doiches kol yicholus v'yeh ilah, and you reject any possibility of there being a higher, more spiritual way of looking at things. Lahabit b'ri'yeh bilti chushes al dvar mukhoshim. You can't imagine, you can't believe that it's possible to look at this world, things that you can touch, things that you can see and hear. You don't believe that it's possible to be able to look at those things in a way that's called ri'iyah ilah, in a higher way, in a more spiritual way, to look at the same reality but in a different way. You don't believe that. Therefore, he says, lachein hinni shayalcha sha'ela pshuta zu. I want to ask you a simple question. Mazeh mayim? What is water? What is water? Klomer, batuach ato shebisho shata mabit umamashmish b'mayim. You're absolutely certain that when you're looking at water, or when you're touching water, that you're actually seeing and touching its complete and total reality, its complete and total manifestation. That's what water is. When you see the water, you are absolutely certain that you're looking at the water in its entirety. You're looking at the water in terms of what it really is, and you're touching it. This is its complete manifestation. I have now grasped the entirety, the totality of what this water is. Lo ezet sura mehem bilvad. You're not looking at just some sort of an outer aspect, at some external aspect, but you really, in your mind, when you're looking at the water and when you're touching the water or you're drinking the water, you are in touch, you are able to sense completely its reality, its total reality. And it would never enter your mind that this is just some sort of an outer aspect, some external aspect of the water that you're touching or that you're seeing. If that's true, then how do you explain the fact, not scientifically, that this very same water, which when you're drinking it, when you're looking at it, when you're touching it, you're certain that this is its totality. But then the next day, that very same water will be snow. Or the very same water will be hail, or aid will be some mist. The very same, or gas, or steam, the very same water, the next day. Vishuv l'mayim, and then the following day, or an hour later, it could be water again. So you when you saw the water, you felt, this is it, this is what it is, it's only water. And you grasped it in its entirety. But the truth is that the water, a moment later, could have a different form. And then the following moment can return to its original form. Es akash l'mashal. He says, for instance, straw. Gevel v'nasa zevel is able to be, it's able to be processed and made into fertilizer. And then you're able to take this straw that you mixed in with and you made into fertilizer, and you throw it onto the field. And it causes the wheat, it causes the things to grow, and improves the field. As a result of you fertilizing the field, there's going to be additional produce. Now this fertilizer has been transformed into this grain, into this wheat that you're going to eat. It's become part of that. And man eats this. He has a piece of bread. And then that bread somehow is converted into flesh. V'dam ha'adam, and blood and whatever, other parts of the body. V'tzalma u'v'dmusa, which is in God's image. So in other words, you had something here which was fertilizer. You had some straw and fertilizer, which is a very, would be considered to be from the lowest types of reality in this world. And now this is part of a human being who's putting on tefillin and saying kol nidre, davening, learning, right? It's part of a human being. So when you looked at this straw, you grasped it, so you thought, in its essence of what it is. And now it takes on a different form, the form of the human being who's created in God's image. It's become part of a human being who's in God's image. The straw was converted into fertilizer, ultimately into the wheat, into the grain, ulabasar, other than man's flesh. And what are they in their essence? Etzem mayim, water. Etzem kash, the essence of straw. Etzem tvua, the essence of wheat. Etzem basar, the essence of flesh, of meat. When you see each of these, when you look at the human being, you wouldn't say this is a person that's composed of straw and fertilizer or wheat. You'd say he's a human being. When you break him down, when you break the human being down into his different parts, and you're able to trace everything back, so then you see, well, I guess he's not a human being. He's X, Y, and Z, all that he's composed of. And so it is with everything in this world. So you wonder. At each of these stages, you say, this is the essence. Its essential quality is its straw. Now you change your mind. You say, no, its essential reality is the wheat. Now that it's become a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, you say, no, it's essentially a piece of bread. And now that you see it, now that you see the human being, no, it's essentially a human being. That's what it really is. That's its essence. How is it possible for the essence to transform into a second and a third thing, and to return to itself? Maybe maybe you're thinking that it's a good question, and that in one human being there could be many essential ingredients. In other words, each thing has, there's one creature, but it has many essences. That's ridiculous, because the essence of something is one. This is not true and it's not possible. Here you see that when you're looking at the human being, you don't even see the essence of what he is. You don't see the straw. You don't see the water. You don't see the grain when you look at the human being. All you see is a human being. Right? We understand now, when you look at the water, you don't see the water either in terms of what it really is. So the scientist has equipment, and he looks and he says, this is what the water really is. And then you have the following year, some new, more powerful microscope is constructed, and then the scientist can say, no, this is what water really is. This is what water really is. You think that you see the truth of something. You think that you see with your eyes what something really is in its essential form. All you see are colors and tsuros and forms, images that are constantly changing. That's what you see in everything around you. Remember, I once told your Maisa here in the shul, told the Maisa from the Yidda Kaddish, from the Holy Jew of Pshischa, that there was one time where the Yidda Kaddish had to go away, where the Yidda Kaddish had to go away for a few days, and the Yidda Kaddish, no, the Chayza had to go away. The Chayza had to go away for a while, and and was it the Yid that he left?
Yeah.
So he went away the Chayza for a while, and he left the Yid with the responsibility to talk to the people who had come to him, to give them aids. And the Yid said, I don't have the Rebbe's eyes, I can't see, I don't know how to help people. And the Chayza says, don't worry, you're gonna have my eyes for this time. So you remember what happened is that the first person comes in, he starts to cry to the Yid HaKadosh about this and about that, and the Yid looks at him, he looks at the paper, he doesn't know what to tell the man. And the Yid said that suddenly everything turned dark, and he saw, and he couldn't see anything else around him. All he saw was this man's face. And then he saw the man's face, different faces, one after the other. All different faces of previous Gilgulim, of previous lives. And then he understood in a second the sharish of what each of those lives was about. And then he said that he was filled with terror, and that finally the last thing that he saw was that he didn't see any face at all, just the total darkness. And he saw a fire on the forehead that it says Adam. Was Adam HaRishon that he saw. And he said then he was able to gaze upon the forehead of Adam HaRishon and to give a tikkun to this poor Jew who had sorrows that was sitting in front of him. that's how he had the Chayza's eyes. When the Chayza looked at a person, so you and I, we look at someone also, how guilty we are all the time of looking at a person and saying, and touching him up and saying, this is the person. This is the person. As I see this person. When in truth, it's bechlal not the essence of the person. We haven't touched upon the essence of the person. You say, I know him so well. I know him already. We're working together for the last 6 months. I know this guy, Mamish, inside and out. We don't even know our children. We don't even know our children. And when the children will grow up and they'll say things about what they thought of those earlier years and how they understand us, we'll be totally shocked about what they're saying, about what they thought. But right now, they're so cute. They sit with us and they do this, they play, they this, they go to yeshiva, they go to school a little bit. At some point, we're going to begin to realize that we didn't even know them. We didn't even know them. You know, a little bit, but maybe more than the next guy. But we didn't know who the child was. We don't know who that person is. Bechlal not. So we're so certain of what we see with our eyes and how we touch things up. That's what he's saying here. All we see are gevonim v'tzuros meschalfeis, colors and images that are constantly changing. Ataray b'chol dover. B'sheke yiftucha chushach aleimah, your senses will falsely seduce you to say, to think, it's ha'olam onorayim v'mash Hashem. This is the world. The world that we see with our eyes and the world that we touch, this is it. The senses are very strong. And the senses are going to convince you that this is it, that's all. Etzem kol davar oimid be'eino, that you are able to see the essence of each thing that you're looking at. Choshech le'yagiu elav. Verak ki'iver hememashmashim begavni hadvarim. The truth is that your senses have never ever reached the essence of that which you're looking at or you're hearing. And all you're able to do, all your senses are able to do is to grope in the darkness like a blind man. And to try to touch gavni hadvarim, to touch the color or the form, shemisraim al-etzem hadvarim, that appears at this time in that thing's life, or that person's life. That's all you can do. To try to grab hold of what you see this moment. Beyond that, you're not capable of anything. V'lam yakshel l'chalahoven. Why? So therefore, why is it so hard for you to believe, to understand, shah makubal, that a Jew who's a makubal, a tzaddik who's a makubal, a bal kabbalah, who they call nowadays a mystic, but that's not the way we're going to understand. In these days, a mystic is a guy who's also a snake charmer. It's a mystic. And they'll call anybody that says something that you don't understand a mystic. But a real makubal. So you can't understand a makubal. Roya b'chol davar medivri ha'ilam es atzman v'amitusam, that he's able to see, when he looks at the world, when the makubal looks at the world, he sees the truth. He sees its essence. He sees something different than what you see. You can't accept this. Shekulam shemais u'neshamas, that the makubal sees all around him letters of Hashem, letters, oisius, letters. Like the Ramban said, that all of creation, all of reality are letters, consists of letters. The Ramban says in his Akdom, in his introduction, all he sees, all the tzaddik sees, when the Ari HaKadosh would look, and all he would see letters, he would see oisius, he would see neshamas, he would see souls. But I mentioned before, that the Baal HaTanya, before he was nifter, the Baal HaTanya, before he passed away, and he asked his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, Mendel, what do you see? He told me, he looked up at the ceiling, the Tanya was looking at the ceiling, he says, Mendel, what do you see? So he said that I see the kairos, I see the beams of the building, of the house. And the Tanya says that all I see are the letters, kuf, vav, resh, hey, I just see the letters of the beams, I don't see the beams anymore. And the last thing before the Tanya died, he said he looked around and all he could see were the oisius. His grandson, he didn't see his body, he just saw the name, Mendel, Menachem. He didn't see anymore this world. The way that we see it, he saw the essence of the world, which is the oisius, the letters of creation. The letters of the Aleph Beis. And that's why the tzaddikim are able to understand reality, and they're able to see it in its truest way. That's what Ari HaKadosh was able to walk with his stick on a hilltop in the Galil, to say, over here is Abaye, over here is Rava, over here is Rabbi Yochanan, right? That he's able to walk and he would point to a tree, and he would say, on this leaf itself, on the leaf of the tree, he would say that there are 26,322 neshamas in that leaf. That you and I, would say, well, that looks like a leaf. But he was like these tzaddikim that were able to see the oisius, that were able to see another reality, a deeper reality. They were able to see whether they were able to look at a pot and to know whether it was tifled. To look at a glass, and they wouldn't drink from the glass because the tzaddik was able to look at the glass and see that it wasn't tifled. So he asked, how could you do that, Rabbi? Can you teach me how to do that? To look at a glass and to know whether it was put into the mikveh or not? How could you know that? Because the tzaddik is able to see the glass. Really, we don't see it. We just see its most external manifestation. We don't see the inner quality of what the glass is. Or the tzaddik that was able to eat the piece of fish and to say to his wife that you didn't make this fish. Because I know that when you make fish, you think you have the thoughts that I should have the strength to learn Torah and to serve Hashem. And this fish, I don't taste that. So that's not how we taste fish. If you're a big maven, you could say it's Unger's or it's A and B. You're a big maven and you show off at the Shabbos table. And say, ooh, what? He knows that this is Unger's fish. It's not Bensi's. It's Gavaldi. Right? Or he has a tremendous chush. He has a tremendous ability to taste. But Reb Chaska Levenstein, when he tasted a piece of fish, he was able to taste his wife's thoughts. So what's the essence of the fish? So we think we know its essence because we taste its essence. The only thing, when you have a cold, you say, Rahmanis, I can't taste it. But as soon as I'll be fine, I'll really taste the fish. What do we know about it? We don't taste the fish. And we don't taste the neshamas that are in the fish. Because as you know, there's nothing that contains as many neshamas as a piece of fish. And there's nothing that's waiting as much for a tikkun as a piece of fish on Friday night. But do we understand that? So you let people live. People live. But the scientist tells you that you think this is water, it's really hydrogen and oxygen. You think that this is, it's really this. It's a, then you say that he has a degree. He must know. He must know what is, he must know that it's not really what we see with our eyes and what we're touching, because he has a degree, and therefore he's able to tell you what it really looks like, what it really is. But when the Mekubal tells you what this really is, so you think that it's a nice idea, it's a very sweet idea, it's a mashal. Right? It's a mashal. So he says, you can't believe, you can't accept the Mekubal. Raya b'chol davar medivay ilam es atzamam v'amitusam, that he sees the reality. Shekulam shemais and the shamas, that everything is letters of the alibis and the shamas. U'bameh koichachal god lidcheis b'chushecha hamatim es v'yosov. And what makes you so certain? He says, you're so confident in your senses and what you see and what you hear and what you taste and touch, that you feel do you really feel confident enough to reject what the Mekubal is saying? Do you really feel that confident? I mean, the Rebbe was talking back in the beginning of the century. Certainly now, the more we understand that what we see, we look at a table, do we understand what the table is when you see with our eyes? Do we see the movement that's taking place of billions and billions of atoms, electrons, and so on their orbit? We don't see Bechlaus. It's a table. To us, it looks like it's a solid thing. And you ask somebody, is this solid? So he bangs it, and he says, sure, it's solid. But scientifically, it's not. There are spaces. We don't see with our eyes Bechlaus, the Metzius. And more than ever, we understand that the Metzius that we see with our eyes is just a way of seducing us into thinking that that's all that it is. But really, it's only its external manifestation. That's all it is. So you could stand your whole life saying, what do you mean? This is what I see. This is what I see. I see a physical world. When in truth, it's not water, it's not straw, there's no world, there's no essence, there's absolutely no essence that you see before you. You haven't seen in your life one essential thing. You've only seen the most external, base, coarse manifestations of those things that you call water and trees and clouds and the sky. That's all you've ever seen in your whole life. You've never seen anything. You and I have never seen anything in its essential reality, ever. We've just seen its most external manifestation. That's all we've ever seen. Vihine. K'sha'amarnu sha'amakubla rayas etzem ha'olam. He says, when I said a moment ago that the Mekubal sees the essence of the world, Shemus and the Shomus, the letters and the souls, Kavanaseinu rak al chosid Mekubal, here's a racist comment, but you have to see what he means. I'm only talking about a chasidish Mekubal. That's what I mean. Now, he doesn't mean that you have to be born into a chasidish family. He means that you have to be a person that understands what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. Rak al chosid Mekubal. So what do I mean by that? What's the chiluk? What does that mean? A chassidish and makubal? Again, it doesn't have to do with whether you belong to this group or that group, but a person that understands, that looks at reality not just through the eyes of pure kabbalistic interpretation, but a person that looks through the eyes of Kabbalah as it was perceived, as it was interpreted by the Baal Shem Tov and his students. Why is that? What does that mean? What's the chilik between a Chassidish Mekubal and another Mekubal? What's the difference? V'zeh chilik. HaChassid kishenas ha'bal machshava. When a chassid, a real chassid, is seeking to understand the deeper reality of things. He wants to become a Baal Machshava, the Machshava that we're talking about. He's seeking to see things in a deeper way. And he draws out from within himself this higher way of seeing things. to see the entire world, that it consists of neshamas, of souls, and of ruach, and of spirituality. As Loimed Hu Kabbalah, he studies Kabbalah. He wants to understand the world. He wants to find the Rabbanim Shalom, so he studies Kabbalah. He's not studying Kabbalah to get a degree in mysticism. He's not studying Kabbalah because it's neat. It's really cool. There was an interview of a... I read it, there was some movie star that was taking Berg's Kabbalah course, California, and said, "This is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's so cool." He's not studying Kabbalah in order to understand even something. He's studying Kabbalah in order to see something. That's what he means by Chassidish Makubal. It doesn't make a difference if he's Svadish or he comes from this background. He says that way. That the Baal Shem HaKadosh took Kabbalah out of the realm of the theoretical, out of the theosophical, out of the realm of just understanding the Olamus. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, "I'm going to take the Rebbeinu Shlom, I'm going to grab him Kivyachal by his pace, and I'm going to bring him right into this world." That's the Chiluk. That's what the Bereshit of the Chava said. I'm not going to go into all the Mishalim, into his Marshal, which I once spoke about in Shul, in the Chassidus class, the Marshal of the Bereshit of the Chava, when he was asked by the Ktsais. Ktsais was a very smart Jew. The Ktsais asked the Bereshit of the Chava, "What's the Chiddush of Chassidus? And how's the Baal Shem different? We had great Mekubalim, we had the Zohar, we had Rabbi Shimon, we had the Ariya Kaddish. What did the Baal Shem do?" So the Moshe epistle is the chavar about somebody that comes back from a distant island telling you about the wondrous bird. This is an amazing bird. It looks like a human being. It can talk and so on. And then people made fun. Nobody believed. What are you talking about? And so then he went back a second time and he wrote down a complete and perfect description of it and all of its details. And so now more people believed in it. But still the world didn't accept it until there was one person that said enough is enough, and he went to the island and he schlepped the bird back into the mainland. He brought it back into this world. So he said that's the meaning of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That all that Rabbi Shimon and Ari HaKadosh was describing, the world sat in wonder and said, "This is very interesting, it's fascinating, it's beautiful, it's very deep, it's very complicated." The Baal Shem HaKadosh says that that's not the point of Sisrei Torah. The point of Sisrei Torah is Mibsari Echza Eloika, to sense God's presence in my flesh, mamish. To feel, and to see, and to sense, to be a person who's able to see God everywhere, and to see these neshamas and oisias of the olive base. That's what he means by the chassidus from Akubal. Hachasid kishanasa bal machshava, when he begins to seek this deeper reality, he might say, "Mekibar riya ilazu, sheyiras kala ilum neshamas ruach." This is what he wants to see. Oz loymedu Kabbalah. Why does he study Kabbalah? Kedei ladas, es matzavei haneshamas, he wants to be able to understand the stalshlis, the emanation. He wants to look, he wants to be able to understand that when I'm looking at a table, what is this table really? Because only in the Sifrei Kabbalah can you understand what the table really is. He wants to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean when I'm looking at this flower? What does it mean when I'm looking at the sky? What is the sky? What is the sky? Like Chazal say, that you look at the blue of the tzitzis and you remember the sky, and you remember the kisa covered and so on. So this person, that's a taste of what it means. So you want to be able to look at the sky and to know what the Kisei HaKavod is. You want to be able to see with your eyes. So next time that when you look at the sky, you know what you're really looking at. That's what it means in Chassidus Mekubal. That's why he's studying Kabbalah. not to be able to have a PhD in Jewish mysticism. He wants to be able to see God. He wants to be able to see where does this come from? what was this like when it was in Hashem's hands? Before Hashem himself drew it down step after step after step into physical reality, where does it begin? That's what it means, to see Adam HaRishon's name on his forehead, on the forehead of that Jew. That's why the Chassidus Mekubal studies these things. Otherwise you look and say, what is this? What does this mean? Well, what is all this stuff? There's a sefer, I won't tell you its name right now, but there's a very, very amazing sefer that was written by an earlier Mekubal, where you look in this sefer, and you can look up anything, you can look up bird, you look tzipor, and it tells you tzipor, based upon the Kisvei Ari and the Zohar Kaddish, it tells you what the bird is, what sphere is the bird. Oh, where does it come from? What is the bird? And it'll tell you, and with a few Kabbalistic terms, what is a bird? It's one volume, a thin cipher, tiny little Rashi writing, around 200 pages. You look at this cipher and it tells you, you want to understand, what does this mean? It's a table, shulchan, it'll tell you what a table is. That's not, for a person who's not a Mekubal, who's not really into understanding these things in a deeper way, so he looks at it and says, okay, This comes from Netzach, this comes from Hay. It's interesting, I don't know. What does that mean? Netzach and Hay, this comes from Netzach Hay. A bird, birds come from the same place as Nevuah, right? Prophecy. So you tell that to a rational person, that a bird has something in common with prophecy. So you say, what do you have? How do you mind? The bird is the thing that left a mess on the window of my car. What does that have to do with prophecy? Right? So the person that looks at reality in that way, so he's so far from the essence. Because he sees the essence of the bird, and he says, this is it. He gives some Latin name, he's an educated guy, and he says, this is a whatever kind of abracadabras type of a bird. And this is a species, and it's known to migrate from Alaska between you know, December 10th and January 20th. And that's what it is. And then you look in the safe, and it says, it's Netzach Hay, Nevuah. What are you talking about? Right? So, the Mekubal, he says, the Chassidish Mekubal is looking, he's trying to understand the emanation from the highest reality. How did it come down to this Metzius? How did it come down to be a bird? How did this come into being a bird? Where does this come from?
I'll say that
yeah.
God is called Ha'adam.
You
say over that
what's
the difference between
Ha'adam
and God?
Right.
Ha'adam and
Yeah.
Ha'adam, the God you see, what you see is... Thus is thus. Adam, you can see much
more to... Very good, that's a beautiful... Who said that? I don't remember. It's a good part. That's the pshat in what we were talking about. S'umiroi meinechem, lift up your eyes. The Navi Yeshayah said, S'umiroi meinechem uru mibara eila. And see who created all of this. Which it says in the Slonim Asvarim, which I explained before in the Shul, it doesn't mean just to lift your eyes up to heaven, like Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. It doesn't mean to just lift your eyes up. And what do you see when you lift your eyes up? You see the bird that's also gonna make a mess on the car. So what do you look up? The Svarim say means take your physical eyes and make them into Himmeldike eyes. Make them into eyes that see something. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to see things in a deeper way, in terms of what it really is. And then you'll be able to see mi bara ela, who created this? Even if you try in the simplest way, if a person stops, you have an apple. So you know the simplest kavana, the simplest thought to have when you're making the bracha, just on the simplest level, you think like this. You think, where does this apple come from? Forget about Kabbalah. Poshup shop. Where does the apple come from? So you're already a bit of a scientist, so you think of the seed, right? You already took off that external manifestation of the apple. So you're already holding, you want to go in order. You see the tree, and you go in there. You see it growing from the earth, and you see the whole stalsels of the apple all the way backwards, until you can imagine the seed sitting inside the ground. Right, and you see it, and you in your mind's eye. In 1 second, all this takes place. You're able to think, and you're able to see. There's this tiny, tiny little seed sitting someplace, in Maine, somewhere, or upstate New York, sitting someplace in the dark ground, and you see this little seed. If you continue with that thought, you have to come to Hashem. It's just a question of going with the thought. If you stop. The entire world stops at the seed. And they say, it's an interesting thing. Then they say, photosynthesis. Have a good day. Right? Oh, no, people talk that way. So they define something. This is the only place I can get back to. Where a Jew has the kayach to go to an even earlier point of the existence of the seed. And when you go back far enough, then you come and all you could see is this, is the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's all that you could see, the Shem Hashem that gives life to all reality. Hayah Hayv V'Yiyah, and that's the simplest thought to have when you have a glass of water. If you stop by the hydrogen, by the oxygen, then maybe you're a bright guy, but a tzaddik you're not going to become from that. That's not how you see the world. That's what he says. K'day Ladas Es Matzavei HaNeshamos L'Shmeisein Sheva Olam. He's trying to understand the emanation from the highest reality to this Metzius. So he studies all these emanations. He studies the Hishtalshlosim. He studies the, in other words, he's studying the path of all things in this world. He's studying, he's trying to understand the journey that that water has taken. He's trying to understand the journey that the apple has taken in its existence. It's taken a journey. When you look at an apple, the apple's tired. Even though it looks fresh and beautiful, looks like it's brand new. And the guy at Tayyai Mamish picked this today. Really, the apple's so tired. Just like we're tired. Someone looks at us, and someone looks at you. You get up in the morning, and the person looks at you. Four people.
Yeah.
Well, because it's, well, we're sorry about that. Shkoyach, I'm sorry. Free tape for... I'm sorry about that. It's chaval. I thought I was worried today would be hard. No. Alright. So when you look at a person, it's the same thing. What is the metzias when you look at a person? So the person gets up in the morning, he took a shower, he looks like he's fresh, he's starting a new day, he is a mechai, he has himself, he davens, he has a cup of coffee, and he's ready to go. So to you, it looks like he's a mamish in Nubriya. And the Yid HaKadosh looked at him, and the Chayza looked at everybody that way, and he saw thousands of years old. Thousands of years old. Who are you? Where you came from? Not just your grandfather, but you, and what journeys you've taken already. And to be able to understand the whole hishtalshus of who this person is. And you and I think that we could touch a person up, because I knew him yesterday. So now I understand him, and that's why he's doing this, and he's acting like that. That we all, right? Or you have a professional, we'll take this guy lying down on a couch and have a schmooze with him, and he understands, therefore, to touch up the guy completely. And he could spend his whole life talking to therapists, and he would come in 10 seconds into the Baba Sali, boom. Gemaranu. Right? That's the end of it. You go to the Remnitzer, looks at a piece of paper, looks at you, tells you this is what you need to do, buddy. You're doing the wrong thing. Your whole life is messed up. This is what you have to do. No books, no professors. That's what he means. Not that I'm putting down the profession of those people who are trying to understand the most recent appearance of this person. They're trying to do the best they can. They're doing the best they can. And if it's a person that's Shema Torah Mitzvah, he's Yerei Shemayim, and he believes in Hashem, then certainly he's trying the best he can to help the person in his present situation. But the Emes says you can't really, really cure an individual. You can't really bring him to a complete Yeshua unless you have those eyes to see where he comes from. You can't. Because you could only reach a certain part of him. That's why if you have a friend and the friend is upset about something, and you're not a psychologist, what do you know? But you're a good guy, and you schmooze him a little bit, and he walks away, he's feeling better. So you think, it's not bad. Maybe I should be doing this for a living, right? You think I'm okay. I helped this guy out. He looks like he's all right. He's happy. He's well adjusted. He made up with his wife, made up with his kids. I did a big thing. You did, for sure. You did. It's a gewaltige thing you did. But if you think that's his Yeshua because you gave him a better day, it's a Yeshua for the day. And I'm not, God forbid, I'm not minimizing that. It's an unbelievable thing to do to help a person even for a minute. But that's not the Yeshua. The Yeshua is only if you're able to see with the Chayza's eyes. Then you're able to bring a Yeshua from the beginning. Evan Maso, Abayim Haisel Reish Pina. From the very beginning, from the cornerstone of that human being's life, then you're able to bring a Yeshua in all of the Bechinas. That's what he means. Where everything came from, its path, its journey. Next page. Kol echad l'minai. Everything. And everything according to what it is, to its own species, to its own reality. And he says, as nishmais halachem rami kaidem. He sees the nishamas in the bread. Of where it comes from. Where does a piece of bread come from? Now he is beginning to understand that the person, the chassid who studies Kabbalah, begins to understand that what the bread really is are the three names of Hashem, the three times the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, because the word lechem equals 78. 78 is three times the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, right? 3 times 26 is 78. Is the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. 3 times the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is Lechem. He doesn't explain what that means. This is not a Kabbalah Sefer. He's not going to tell us what that is. But he's just saying is that when the Mekubal looks at bread, he sees 3 times the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he knows what that means. This is what it means in B'nai Machshava Taiva. You remember the Rebbe was saying that You have to use your senses to get someplace, to get going. But I'm going to bring you, you could be brought to a point where you're able to see mamish, what's going on. So the Mekubal looks at reality, and he's able to see a piece of bread, and he looks at it, and he sees three times the same Yukivovke. And the Rebbe explains, that doesn't mean he doesn't see the bread, and he doesn't eat it. He makes a brach, and he eats it. But he knows what it is. He sees what it is. He sees what it really is, its essence. Not its present form. Its present manifestation. He sees it to the depths of what it is. Masha'en ke misha'en a chosid. A person who's not a chosid. The Piazetzin in general, by the way, is not shy when it comes to expressing his pride in Chassidus. So for those who are new at learning Chavis HaTalmidim, his other Sfar might be a bit, you know, now because nowadays everybody's fine, everybody's, I'm okay, you're okay, and so on, and you're not allowed to be an elitist of any sort. So if you look at the Rebbe's Sfar, you'll find that he says, Keseda, you know, this is, you know, he says the Chassidus is, it's the only way. He says he can say that. It's the only way nowadays, he says, the only way to get to the bottom of things. And he'll say this Kaseida. And in Chavis HaTalmidim, he says, I'm talking to Chassidus Shabbarach. And I'm trying to make a Chassidus Shabbarach, a real Chassidus Shabbarach. And those who are not interested, and those who don't believe in the Baal Shem Tov and the Rabbi Elimelech and the Kedushas Levi, that I'm not talking to you. You're not the people I'm talking to. So he says this, Misha ain't a Chassid, a person who's not a Chassid. Ish Yavesh B'chushim, Yaveshim. He's a dry person with dry, abstract senses. And don't make a mistake. He's only talking about a true chassid. He's not talking about a guy that just belongs to a group and you know, and he only buys meat from that store. He's talking about a real chassid. He's talking about what the Baal Shem Tov meant. As he says, when you have a person who's not a chassid, and again, it doesn't mean by birth, but by his persuasion, he's not a chassid shehid, and he comes with dry, abstract senses and a cold intellect. He's going to study Kabbalah. He wants to get his first Kabbalah book. Right? He's going to study Kabbalah. He says, when he comes with Kabbalah, Azrak Bir Buvyu, Stiris, Masavi, Vikiba, all that happens when he studies Kabbalah, he's surrounded by what? Confusion and contradictions. It's all he sees. Strange words, crazy concepts. That's all he sees. Huraya Lechem Gashmi, Lechel Velezbaya. All he sees, Abuvi means confusion. Stiros, contradictions. Masavi, Bekirbos are circulating, are moving around within him as a result of his studying Kabbalah. The problem is like this. He sits down, he wants to eat a piece of bread. To be full, to have something to eat. But he just read in the book, he just read a Kabbalah book that says that bread, it's not really bread, it's the three names of Ayah. It's the three times of Ayah. Yukivovke. So he's got a problem. He gets confused. It could ruin his appetite. He's about to spread some peanut butter on this thing. And he's afraid. I don't know this. What is this? The three Havayas here? I don't know what it's talking about. And he just wants to have a piece of bread. This happened before his eyes. This higher reality has descended into a piece of bread, and it's sitting in front of his eyes. Or maksha, but then he has a problem. Haloi lechem gufanihu. Isn't this just bread? Isn't this just bread? I mentioned before the most famous professor of Kabbalah who ever lived. His name I prefer not to mention. He's the most famous professor of Kabbalah that ever lived. It was a Jew that came from Germany, from a family that wasn't religious, and spread his impurity all the way to Yerushalayim. He's a genius. So this professor used to brag somebody asked him, do you have any feeling for this at all? You've written dozens of books on the subject of Kabbalah, of godliness. Do you have any feelings? He says, trust me, my friend, that the best work that I've done has been written on Yom Kippur while I was eating with my head uncovered a non-kosher piece of food. That's when I wrote my best pieces of Kabbalah. Right? So here you have a man who understands that Lechem means the name Havaya, three times the Shem Havaya, and he could give you a whole lecture. But then, sof kol sof, it's a piece of bread. He doesn't see. The two don't have, one has nothing to do with the other. It's just an intellectual construct. It's dry, it's abstract. It's not it. He still looks at the piece of bread and he says, he's just fascinated by this, by Jewish mysticism and mythology. He's fascinated by it. It's beautiful, it's interesting, it's deep. It's fun to look at, it's fun to study. You have to realize why there were so many restrictions, why there are so many things, so many conditions for a person to study these things. Why it's not so pashut. The Jew doesn't go to the mikveh, the Jew's not careful with what he does. So he wants to be able to study these svarim. It's a dangerous thing. Not because people think, like, you know, like my boys ask me always in class, you mean like, if I study the Zohar, I'll know how to make a human being or something. Or bring the dead back to life. Like, and God doesn't want me to do that because, you know, it's dangerous because a jerk like me shouldn't run around creating people. And that's like the usual guy in the street thinks, like, you know, because if I make a guy, he's going to be more messed up than me. I mean, this is what the guys think, you know. But like, it's like, you know, there's this magic book. You know, it's like one big Raiders of the Lost Ark out there. You know, so you're going to sit there and you're going to look at it and you're going to say, okay, man, it's nice. It's beautiful. If one doesn't begin to open oneself up in this world. So, that's what this mystic sees, this non-Hasidic mystic. He sees what? He sees a piece of bread. It's just a piece of bread. I just see a piece of bread. I don't see the three names of Hashem, the three Shem Havai. Ve'echnis Gashem. How did it go from the name of Hashem to something that I dip into my soup? And how did that happen? So then he comes to the conclusion to make himself safe. He says, the name Yudkei Vavkei is not really the piece of bread. It's just it's what the bread is hinting to. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that it's in the bread. It means that bread symbolizes the name of Hashem. And then you make a beautiful drush about that. Right? How bread symbolizes godliness. It sustains, it nurtures. I can get started right now and give an hour talk about it. And any one of you could do the same thing. it symbolizes. The bread symbolizes. three times the Shem Yukevavke. You make a whole fancy thing. What does it mean? Three times Yukevavke. This is probably what the rabbis meant when they said it's three times Yukevavke. It meant, and you give a nice drosha, that's what it means. And by the way, that's how most of our children are being taught in yeshiva, and that's how they grow up, seeing reality. And when they hear nice vertloch, they hear something like about what's going on, they think that it's just... They hear a nice pshat, and that's this. It only symbolizes something. It's not it. It's just a symbol of what it is. That's why it's so hard for our children and ourselves to feel the Rabbi Shalom's presence. Because there is no name of Yudkei Vavkei in the bread. It's just the bread symbolizes that. And then you open up your Jewish newspaper, and you read a Dvar Torah, and then someone's telling you that Avraham Avinu symbolized Chesed. He was the paradigm. Now they use these stupid words. He was the paradigm of kindness. You throw up. In the Zohar Kodesh and Chazal, Avraham Avinu is the Merkava of Chesed. He's the chariot of Chesed. He's not the paradigm. He's not the symbol of Chesed. He's not the nicest man in the world. And what happens to our children, to ourselves, even when we learn Torah, it's so magushim, it's so physical. Even when we learn Torah, it's so magushim, it's just... This is a nice vart, it means this, you know. You tell a yid, a tzaddik, you tell a real chassidish a yid, you tell him, and I don't mean to the exclusion of Jews, well, not chassidish, I'm talking about a way of thinking, not about where he comes from. It could be straight from Vilna. I don't mean that. Or it could be from Fez. It doesn't make a difference. But when you tell him a good vart, kalatz moizei tamarinda, you tell him a vart, himamish, it keeps him the whole day. I told you once there was a Lubavitcher chassid that they said on him that the last Rebbe met him. He was a yid that was in Europe yet. He was a chassid of the Rebbe Rayatz from Lubavitch, and I don't remember what the vart was, but he had a certain difficulty. He went into the Rebbe Rayatz back in Russia, and the Rayatz from Lubavitch, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, told him a sentence, a vart, and like 50 years later, this guy went through. Yisurim of Gehenim a million times, what he went through in his life, and he met the last Rebbe Oliver Shalom. The Rebbe asked him, how did you get to this place, how did you make it here after all you've been through? So he said over this, because he says that your father-in-law told me this word, I heard this svar 50 years ago from the Rebbe Reyes. And that's how come I'm still putting on tefillin. It was a sentence. And you and I would look at it, we would say, it's a nice fart. You know, maybe you know, you'd say to the Sheva Brachas if your cousin forced you to. Right? You'd say that like it's a nice fart. But when that yid, and he was a simple yid, when he heard that fart, it was... I've seen this so many times. You get some old Polish yid, like, you know, some old chassid. And there was this where I used to learn in Queens in this shul. They had a kollel there for people that were teaching in the morning, mechanchim. So in the afternoon, we were learning together, a bunch of guys, a bunch of people that were teachers that were rebbeim in the morning. And there was an old chassidish yid there. It was so hard to learn next to him. You know, he used to sit, we had a big table, it was like this. So we were learning whatever masechta we were learning, with Gemara, this and that. So he would also learn Gemara. He was this old chassidish yid, a real chassidish yid. He was a Radomsker chassid from the home. And he came to America, and he became an America satma chassid. But he used to go to Ger all the time. He was a Polish chassid, but in America he said, there's no one worth talking to. That's what he said. So he used to go to the satma rabbi. But he used to wear boots. You know, it was a real, like, it was like, he was straight out of the 19th century, this yid. So we used to be sitting learning the Gemara. So we would learn straight through the Gemara, and he would learn also. But he would spend the last half hour of the Seder, of the day, he would spend the last half hour looking into one of the Svar. Looking into Kedusha Slavi, Tefer Shalim, you know, you spend the last... So we'd be learning, and every 10 seconds, like, you know, he was making sounds like a crazy, sounds like an animal. And he wouldn't even see us, because we would giggle, you know, we loved him, we mamish loved him. I saw him a few weeks ago, he's Nabuch already, almost completely blind. We loved this guy. We loved him. And he wouldn't even look at us. He didn't even know that he was sitting like this, in the beard, like this, oh, man. And he would go like this, he'd start shaking. And he would look at us, and then, you know, you'd like to, and afterwards, sometimes he would take one of the guys, you know, he'd pull us over, and he would always grip like this. You know, he'd pull you right up next to his face, and he'd say over this vart from Tefer Shleima, you hear this? And you're thinking, you know, you say, yeah, it's gefallen. You think it's a nice vart, you know, take it easy, you know. It's a nice vart. It's a nice vart, you know. What are you going out of your Caleb? It's a nice vart. You could think, I saw a nicer one. It was last week's Jewish press was even nicer. And he's looking at this Tefer Shleima, and he's going out of his Caleb. You know why? Because to him it was Divrilakim Chayim. It was the words of the living God who was talking to him at that moment of his life. Not that we're having a course in Hashkafa. We're so far from it. It's the saddest thing in the world. We're so far from it. You can go to Shia, someone's talking about the Lakuz, talking about godliness, and a person takes notes, and he says this, and he says that. But Sof, what does he see in front of him? He sees a piece of bread. That's all he sees. That's what he means. A yid. This Jew, when you told him, when he saw a vart, I remember he used to learn, one of the guys, you know, they had, so the Litvish fellows, they tried to introduce him to some other Svarim. So he never saw a Sefer other than a Chassidish Sefer, you know, and a Gemara. That was it. So they gave him Lev Elio. Who's Lev Elio? Rebel Lapian. Rebel Elio was a Tzaddik, a Kaddish, he was a big Balmusser. So he became like, so I remember he's learning this Lev Elio, because he was such a sweet person. He gave him something, he had no party line to follow. He gave him Lev Elio, he says, okay, Lama Zayin. So he sits down there with Lev Elio, and he's learning, he also starts to scream and pull his beard. And then he says, and then we look at him, and he says, oh, so this guy's old taste. He says, no, it's good. So he said, it's Nishkan Litvak. He says, it can't be that the man that wrote this is a Litvak. Can't be. He's got a Chassidish Yid, and he went like it was a disguise, so he should get infiltrated into the Litvak Yeshiva. It's not a Litvak. So what does it mean? So if you hear that in a silly way, so you say, oh, come on, what is it? There are no Litvaks that Tzaddik. What's the matter with you? He's not saying that. What he meant to say is that this is exactly what the Rebbe is saying. He's not saying Chassidim, not Chassidim. He's saying, but he saw the rebellion, looked at the world in that way. He saw the rebellion, he was looking at the world in a way that he heard in the Tefer Shleima, that he heard in the Kedushas Levi. Aye, it's a different type of Torah, it's true. You look in Levi Elio, it's a different type of Torah. But he saw, and he was right, he saw in those words that there was a tzaddik that was searching for the beginning of things. That was looking for the beginning. That was trying to find where it came from. Where does it come from? So he's able to feel that. He's able to see that because he had the sensitivity. Because this is a Jew who his whole life, when he looks, this is what he sees. This is what he was able to see. So this person who's studying Kabbalah, but he's not studying in that way. So he says, look, Safkal Sof, it's a piece of bread. So he says it must be, it's a symbol of something. How do you explain, how do you say this? You can go your whole life, you go from one shul to the next growing up, and you hear thousands of speeches. Thousands of speeches. And that's all that they are. And I don't mean to put anybody down. One thing after the other, this symbolizes that, this means that. Esav means Arafat. And this one symbolizes this and symbolizes that. No one's ever telling you what it really is. No, Be'emis, what is it? Oh, this is a symbol of this, this is a symbol of that. This is already a good thing. There's already a person that's, you know. But the Pnimius, if you tell somebody what it really is that three times the name Havaya, he says, oh, you're reading funny books, you better stop doing that. That's funny stuff, what are you talking about? It's only a symbol of Hashem's name. But the bread itself is bread. That's what he says. The Bali Kabbalah, they're telling you nice stuff. They're telling you that a bird symbolizes prophecy. And then you make a whole drasha. You could become another rabbi that gets up and says, birds mean prophecy because it gives you the ability to fly. And it gives you the ability to see the world in a broader way and to be a person that is able to transcend the everyday life. The whole world is filled with so much hot air you could pass out. Right? All these talks. So you're wondering. I guess they wanted us to understand things better. So they said, in order to understand certain things, they used it as a mashal. So the bread is a mashal for the name of Hashem. It's only a mashal. It's not really that. It's just a mashal. So they have a problem. Why would you bring the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei? It's the holiest thing in the world. Why are you going to put that into a piece of bread? So I think that's not nice. Why do you put the name Yud Kei Vav Kei into a piece of bread? That's not where the king belongs. In my stomach, I'm eating a piece of bread with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's not nice. Kush Yustir Lefanov. So he's left with a big kasha. This guy. This non-Hasidic Makubal that he's talking about, meaning the person who approaches Kabbalah as something intellectual, something interesting, but not in order to understand, not in order to see. Bemis, where things come from, what things really are. Just another 2-3 minutes. V'zeu tachlis ha-chavraya k'doysha shalanu. But this is the tachlis, he says. This is the purpose of our holy group, of this group. B'nei machshava toiva. And this goes back to everything that the Rebbe was explaining before about using the Ravid's method to be able to see, even to think of godliness in physical ways, but then to progress. Because you have to grab hold of something if it's at the end. So start at the end, but then you move your way back to the beginning. Right? You got to go, but you have to, because a human being needs to use his senses, needs to use that physical world that he's so familiar with, you know, in order to trace himself back to the seed and get to Hashem. That you shall be converted, transformed into a person of ruach, of machshava, of that thought that we're describing. And I don't mean just to make you into a smarter person. Machshava b'lvad. There are plenty of smart people. This pure and real thought of the essence that we're talking about. His gabral chushacha. So the Rebbe says, "It's Gabriel Chushach." Meaning, lift yourself above your physical senses. That's what I want you to do. His Gabriel Chushach. Don't be fooled by them. Don't stop. Don't be misled by what you see and what you hear. His Gabriel Chushach. V'chush chodesh kodesh yizgalabach, and you will discover within you a new chush, something extraordinary. A sense of something else, of something much greater. He says, I want that when you say those words that you say every day so many times, that you should actually see. Ata, what does that mean? You. Blessed are you. Baruch Ata. And what does it mean? Melech HaOlam, King of the World. To mamash see that. Doesn't mean you could see God. To see Elokus, what we're talking about. When you say the words, Baruch Ata Hashem, before you eat that apple. Yipaschu l'ravacha, your eyes on their own will begin to open very broadly. Lirei says melech ha'olam, and you'll be able to see the king of the universe. Shemakiv is kol ha'olam is atzmacha, that surrounds and fills you and all of the world. Yechadru v'yabitu derech kol ha'olam hachutza. You'll be able to look at everything outside in the world. Everything that you see outside in this world, you'll be able to see. When you look at that, you'll be able to look at that and see as ha'ata ha'melech. You'll be able to see ata, you. Like the Meditchev's song, that he has a song, Dudula. You ever see the song, Dudula, the poem? The song? Oh, I have to bring it for you. Ah, it's a gewaltige thing. Kedushas Levi had a song, Dudula, which means what? My beloved, Dodi, right? Dudula. So he says that, so it's the song basically was in Yiddish when they translated it to Hebrew. But the song Kedushas Levi is, I look at the sky, I only see you. I look at the floor, I only see you. I look at this, I say, Dudula, only Dudula, Akata, only you, Dudula. It's this unbelievable song. That the Kedushas Levi, this is what he used to sing in Yiddish. He used to teach it to Jews in Yiddish. That everywhere he looked, he saw only what? Ata and Melech Ha'olam. Yisatzmo Enecha v'yisakru v'tiras Hashem sh'mamala yisa'olam v'hulun l'negdecha. Your eyes will be able to see Hashem that fills reality that's standing right in front of you. Ata Melech Ha'olam. Again, Ata Melech Ha'olam. You are the king of the universe. Ata melech ha'olam. V'tis aneg, v'tis moigig, and you'll have the most amazing delight. You'll like melt with the pleasure. V'lama tis kasha v'tis pali kol kach achachush hazeh. Why should you have so many kashas? Why should you wonder so much after this chush, this sense that you know that you now have acquired a new way of looking at things, right? A new way of sensing reality. Why should you wonder how could this be? Why should you wonder how? What do you mean? How could that be that I should be able to sense such a thing? How could I be such a person? He says, what are you wondering how this works? You don't even know how your eyes work. Like we spoke about before, you don't even know what the water is and what the straw is. You don't even know how anything works. So this you can't accept it's possible, such a thing. In other words, he says, If you're not able to smell something, right? If you're missing the chush areach, you don't smell something. So then he's asking, that person will ask, how is it possible that he doesn't understand? That if you're eating this, how do you know that this is perfume? You're smelling this. You don't know this is perfume. And if you're eating this, you don't know that it's mustard. If there's something wrong with your smell, right? So he says, you're not able to smell anything. You have a cold. So what pleasure do you have in smelling it? What pleasure do you have in smelling the hadasim or the b'samim? Kama ata in lecha tshuva nechachas. V'chush kaze yesh lecha v'chukahi. When you're able to smell, you don't know how it works or why, but you're able to. But if your nose is clear and you're able to smell the b'samim, or you're able to smell the hadasim, it gives you pleasure, and you understand that it's a beautiful fragrant thing, even though you don't know. Why is that? How does that work? You can't spend your whole life wondering how could that be. So then don't ask any more the question. How could it be? You're going to ask the Rebbe, saying you're going to wonder, you're going to ask me, what am I trying to make you into a Navi or something? What do I think? Rebbe, you think you're going to take a guy like me, that's barely out of his diapers, you're going to make a guy like me, what are you trying to make me into a Navi? That I should look at the world in such a way? We don't have prophets anymore. It's the first thing you're going to say to the Rebbe. Forget it, I can't look at things that way, we don't have any prophecy. He says this throughout his svarim. So a Jew, even of the Jews, you're not a Navi. I'm not trying to make you into a Navi. We don't have prophecy now, but you're a Ben Navi. You're the child of Nevi'im. which means that you bend over, which means you have a certain, a Jew has access to a certain way of looking at things. You do. Every Jew, every single Jew is a ben Navi. Gam ben Neviim roim anu shalemayshar Rabbeinu ana Hashem is baruch kila yirani ha'adam. I think we'll have to. Well, it's going to get late. All right, so we'll have to pick up. We'll pick up with this thing with the at the end of 32 with the with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shkayach Rabbeinu.